There are hundreds of performing artists, visual artists, and teaching artists living in the Triangle who make their living gig to gig. Before COVID-19, working in what has been dubbed that gig economy was pretty cool. But now that kind of lifestyle is packing a financial and emotional gut punch to those artists relying on production and teaching contracts to pay their bills. And that is what we're talking about on this episode of the RDU on Stage podcast. Hi everyone, I'm Lauren Van Hemert, your host, and this is the RDU on Stage podcast. That original composition was created by Ariane Mobasher, one of the many artists in our community who finds himself out of work due to COVID-19. Mobasher had a full-time job as a graphic designer when he was suddenly laid off due to the pandemic. He relied on gigs as a side hustle to pay off his student loans. Now out of work, his side hustle is more important than ever, and he is not alone. Last week, seemingly overnight, our Triangle Theater shut down. Shows like the Theater Raleigh production of Bud Not Buddy and the Rebecca Show shut down hours before they were set to open. And at the heart of many of those shows are working artists who depend on performing and teaching opportunities to make a living. Rebecca Jackson Artis, half of the Rebecca Show comedy duo, says while she is sure postponing their production was the right thing to do for the health and safety of their patrons, she fears how this kind of last-minute scheduling change will impact how she is viewed professionally. She also shared with me the sentiment of so many artists who say they measure success on audience feedback, and that an artist without an audience just feels kind of sad.
Emotionally, it's frustrating. It's scary. Because as an artist, you're really the only reason why we work is for other people's reactions. It's like your emotions are tied into other people's emotions to your work. So the fact that I'm not going to see other people's reaction to our work, it scares me. And so I feel like I'm a loser. I feel like I'm like not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. So I'm failing.
Germana Sharp was performing in the Bear Theater production of Murat Saad when news of the pandemic postponed the show just after two performances. She says this kind of industry-wide shutdown has her scrambling to figure out what's next.
It's like a hard stop. It's really a hard stop on everything that you may have planned to do, and you may have planned these things a while back, but you know, it kind of puts you in this literally an isolation of like, so what can I do? You have all these plans that you know you made, and now it's just like, it's kind of like nothing. It's kind of something that it just sucks the life right out of you as a creative.
Samantha Corey is a teaching artist who says she was also feeling pretty anxious, but was inspired by an email she received making note that William Shakespeare turned out some of his best work when the plague closed theaters in 1593. Consequently, Corey started teaching virtual acting classes online, but says she's still unsure of what the future holds.
You know, I am fortunate enough to also work at a bakery part-time in Raleigh, and they are angels. They're having just as hard a time as any business right now, and are very worried that they will also eventually be shut down for one reason or another. And so that's my final job. Right now I had 12 employers, and now I only have one active employer, which is the bakery. So it's been a very scary transition from realizing, you know, that you have no net and what it feels like when you fall off that tightrope.
Heather Strickland has been an actor, director, dance and fight choreographer in our area for the last 15 years. She was in rehearsal for a show when the pandemic started, and she says that social distancing changes the game for fight and intimacy directors and their entire field, which is centered on contact and consent.
All of my work is totally based on folks making physical contact with each other. And yes, I have all the tools and resources and knowledge and experience to know how to help them step into that in a very safe way. But if the rest of the context of the world right now is we're not even supposed to be stepping into that, my whole art and what I'm there for completely changes.
Tara Nicole Williams is also a fight choreographer and teaches stage combat, movement, and acting, and says as an independent artist and contractor, if you don't have a built-in support system to see you through the hard times like this, you might be out of luck.
I've always lived paycheck to paycheck. I've been an independent contractor for a very long time, and I've always struggled, but this adds a new level of struggle on top of the already stressed space that I live in financially. I love my work and I have no intention of stopping, but it does remind me of how precarious gig culture is, especially because the larger picture of our country does not support that type of lifestyle. You know, there are no government guarantees in regards to paid sick leave for contract workers. There is no guaranteed health care for contract workers. You know, there's a lot of subsidies that states can buy into. But if your particular state does not buy into those particular subsidies, there's a massive gap from individuals who are working in our community every day, who are, you know, adding to our community, you know, those great positive influences in our community who we see every single day, are now going to be in a place in which they're going to be at risk of losing their houses, losing their cars, losing what little security that they did build for themselves. And they will fall through the cracks because there will be no system to catch them or to help them through this struggle. And so in the immediate, for me personally, there's a real financial scare. But I know that I am fortunate in that I do have an amazing support system who can come to my side and, you know, provide a little bit of buffer for me while I pick myself back up after this crisis. But there are artists who are already even more in the margins or more in the fray, who are even more at risk than I am of becoming really dangerously and financially unable to take care of themselves and can find themselves in very dire situations because of it.
Mo Basher is of Iranian descent and says family is everything to him, and that social distancing, while it may be necessary to protect the ones that we love, is a kind of tough love he's just not accustomed to.
There's like a tragedy in that alone, in being like a culture that is so animated and touchy and loud and in your face, and we want to share all the time and just be together all the time, and like we are in proximity to each other, but not in the way that we've known our whole lives, and that's ingrained into, you know, thousands of years of our heritage.
But amidst the darkness, there may be some hope. Actor, writer, director Monet Marshall says, historically speaking, it is in the tough times that people lean on the arts most. And that perhaps now is the time for funders and the government to take notice.
I am feeling really concerned, and at the same time, I'm feeling hopeful. I think I'm reminded of the fact that of all the time in history, well, in American history, that artists were funded, the time was during the Great Depression. Like, when they knew that people needed arts the most is when artists were like, oh, we're actually getting funded from the government. So I'm hopeful that this moment and people realizing how much not having cultural institutions, theaters, dance companies, parks, how much they relied on Netflix, I hope that all those will create a perfect storm that reminds everyone how important art is, and that it forces, even if the federal government doesn't look at stimulus or how we fund arts differently, that our state and local government do.
As a result of COVID-19, several artist relief organizations have been established locally to support Triangle artists. VAE mobilized quickly and partnered with ArtSpace, Pinecone, Theatre Raleigh, and the United Arts Council to establish the NC Artist Relief Fund. But Brandon Cordry, VAE's director, says the need far outweighs the amount of donations received so far.
So we asked artists in ours, you know, what things have you seen canceled? Who can we verify that with? So that way it provided a pretty high level of accuracy. And then we asked them, what's the minimum amount you need that you've lost that you need in order to cover your bills? And we've gone through on a preliminary basis and sort of weeded out people that are applying from Michigan or California or whatever. So we're pretty accurate on this number, but the need just now, it's just me manually updating these numbers on our website, but just now went above 500,000 in artists in North Carolina. So that's the need. That's the amount that's been lost. And then currently we've had $15,917 donated directly to the fund. There are a couple other fundraisers, like artists are hosting shows online and doing t-shirt sort of benefits for the fund. But that's the amount that's been directly donated to us.
Charles Faniff, president of the United Arts Council, says it's important to be able to quantify just how big a financial toll this crisis is taking on our arts organizations and artists so that community leaders can effectively advocate for funding.
I have a colleague at the Smithsonian, and she was on a call with the American Alliance of Museums and heard a thing that a third of museums in the country were already kind of close to going out of business. And the conservative estimate is that we'll lose a third of those. So that seems to me to be kind of like a reasonable baseline. If we had to do the kind of grim math, is that we might lose about a tenth of our arts organizations right now, if I had to guess, and I certainly hope it's going to be better than that. One thing we really are stressing right now that will be a lot of my communication to people is the importance of, if you have an arts organization, to fill out the Americans for the Arts survey about the fiscal impact of this crisis, because we need to start wrapping our arms around what the actual loss is. As of yesterday, it was only 300,000 in losses that had been reported by arts organizations in Wake County. And that seems really, really low because, you know, I just know like a big theater in one weekend, you know, their gross can be a pretty significant percentage of that. But they're canceling, you know, Playmakers has canceled their entire season. Like, I haven't looked to see how many theaters are doing that, but I think some are. So those numbers are really low. And it's really hard for those of us who are trying to, you know, wear our advocacy hats to go out and advocate when we don't know. Like, we need the stories too, but we also need numbers.
I'll post my full interview with Faniff at a later date, and we'll include a link to the Americans for the Arts Impact Survey he is referring to in the episode notes. By the way, that impact survey is for arts organizations as well as artists. In speaking with all of these artists, many of whom I consider friends, it became clear to me that our artist community is really hurting right now. Piedmont Laureate and founder of Artist Soapbox, Tamara Kassane, says artists are feeling a sense of loss.
I think that the predominant emotion that I am sensing, in addition to anxiety, is grief. And grief over the loss of not only money, but the opportunity to come together as we are used to doing, because we happen to, that's our bread and butter, is congregating together to share in a communal experience of storytelling. And so to not be able to have that experience that we have all been working towards for a very long time, for weeks and perhaps months, even longer for people, I think there's a grief that comes with that loss. And I feel personally like it is appropriate to take some time to experience that and don't try to squash it down or minimize it, because it is real and it is for a reason. I sometimes tell my kids that they get upset because there's something that's very important happening. And so I think that theater is very important to us, and it's why we're so upset when we can't do it. It's because it matters, and it's okay to have things matter, and it's okay to recognize that they do. We won't always be in this place of grief and in some cases, you know, anxiety. But for right now, it's okay to sit and breathe through that a little bit and not pretend like it's not happening or that it doesn't, that what we do doesn't matter.
And Strickland adds that while creatives are a resilient bunch, she's worried that the emotional effects of picking up the pieces and putting our community back together is going to take its toll for years to come.
I think all of us are going to have a lot to deal with when we get on the other side of this. And, you know, it goes beyond the very financial impact that, you know, specifically our theater community is going to feel, but many other industries and individuals are going to feel. But there's going to be an emotional fallout. And, you know, we can rally right now. I have every confidence that particularly our arts community is incredibly resilient, and we will get through this, and then we will get through the picking up the pieces that is going to come after this. But there's also a much longer term impact. And so often we get through the sort of picking up the pieces and putting things back together phase, and then we think, oh, we're done. We made it. Better times are here. And then that's when the emotional really hits us, because we can breathe a little bit. And then that is when kind of all of that trauma really loads back on us. And it's so far removed from the initial trauma that we forget. We don't necessarily have the context of that this is still fallout from this thing that we went through. So sometimes it's even harder to process, because we're not aligning it with everything that we just went through to just get on the other side of things that seem terrible.
Strickland says while the delivery and the way we tell stories may change short term, the need to support our local artists and help this community thrive both emotionally and financially is a constant.
I mean, the way that we currently support our arts community is to engage in the stories that we want to engage in. And we do that by being there and by putting our dollars there. The stories are really different right now, and they might not be the stories that we're used to seeing in a format that we're used to seeing, but there's still stories that are coming up. And so we need to listen to those stories in a different way. We need to engage with them in a different way, and we need to show up there, and we need to put our financial resources there in a way that isn't the traditional, I'm going to pay for my ticket and sit in this seat and be entertained or educated by this piece of art that is in front of me. It's going to mean shifting our thinking for, I'm seeing this story on social media, or my friend is telling me about this thing, so I'm going to step over here and support them and then contribute financial resources there.
Many of the artists I spoke to have Patreon or Facebook pages, and I'll put those links in the episode notes. I'll also include a link to VAE's NC Artist Relief Fund, as well as links to other relief organizations in our area. If you like what you've heard today, please consider subscribing to the podcast, follow us on social media at RDU on Stage, or visit us online at www.rduonstage.com. Until next time, stay safe, stay healthy, and stay engaged, and support your local artists.